Our text this morning will be taken from Matthew chapter 14. If you'd like to read along, you can be finding that passage now. Matthew 14 will be beginning at verse 22. Be having our vacation Bible school tonight. We're talking about walking by faith. So I've selected kind of one part of this episode with Jesus walking on the water to share with you this morning and to emphasize. Let's begin reading Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I read a little story about a family of seven living way up in Alaska. There was a mother, a father, five children, four boys, and the baby of the family was a daughter. And just before the daughter's 21st birthday, the parents took her aside to share a family secret with her. And they said, "Now, honey, we want you to know that everybody in this family, by their 21st birthday, is able to walk on water. We've had this ritual with your four older brothers where on their 21st birthday, we take them down to the pond and they walk across the pond to the other side. We want to share this with you." And so her 21st birthday came and down to the pond they went. The girl stood there kind of tentatively at first, and finally she worked up the courage to set a foot over the top of that water, and when she put her foot on the surface of the water, it sank, and she lost her balance and fell forward, completely submerged in the water. She came up sputtering. Mom and Dad looked at one another, confused, and finally Mom's face brightened, and she snapped her fingers, and she says, "I know what it is. The rest of the family was born in January, but she was born in July." Now, if your neighbor looks confused, tell them that in Alaska in January, the pond is frozen. And so you can walk right across the top of it. Moving right along. Let's talk about someone else who stepped out, hopefully, onto the surface of the water, only to end up ultimately disappointed. And that someone, of course, is Simon Peter. Now, as most of you know, Simon is Peter's given name. It's the name his parents gave him. But Jesus gave Peter the nickname Peter, which means rock, because that was the vision that Jesus had for Peter. That's what he wanted Peter to become, the solid spiritual rock. But on this occasion, Peter lived up to his nickname, didn't he? At first, he stepped out on the water and he started walking and he looked like a rock star for a little bit. But then something went wrong and he began to sink like a rock. What went wrong? I want to suggest to you this morning that what went wrong is this. Peter didn't believe Jesus is enough. I wonder if you do. I know that you believe Jesus is important. If you didn't believe Jesus is important, you wouldn't be at a place like this. But do you believe that Jesus is enough? Enough to give you everything you need? Let me ask it in three ways. Is Jesus enough when the winds make it hard to obey him? Now, Jesus commanded his disciples, the text says he made them get in a boat, and he told them, you sail to the other side of the lake. I want some privacy, some solitude so I can pray. I'll meet you later on the other side. So he commanded them to sail across the lake. And this is exactly what they were trying to do. But this strong wind came in their face, and it made it very difficult for them to do what Jesus told them to do. The text says that the wind and the waves buffeted the boat. That word in the original language is tormented. And that word tormented is used a lot of times for demonic activity in the Bible. So this wind may very well have been sent as demonic activity to try to get the disciples from obeying what Jesus told them to do. And so they were trying to sail, but the wind was making it so hard to obey what Jesus had said do. The winds of change are blowing in our culture, aren't they? And the winds of change are not blowing us in the direction of Jesus. In fact, they are intended to make it harder for us to do what Jesus told us to do. Christianity has always had its opponents. There have always been people in the broader culture who have different beliefs about morality and about ethics and about sexuality and about marriage and about family and about salvation. But what's changing lately is the opponents of Christianity are growing in number and they're growing in aggression. Not that long ago, the opponents of Christianity began to demand tolerance. And they said, well, you're going to have to tolerate our views that are different than yours. And then after a while, the opponents of Christianity moved from toleration to celebration. Not only are we going to demand of you Christians that you tolerate our different beliefs, but we're going to demand that you celebrate our different beliefs. And you got to come to our parties and come to our parades when we're celebrating beliefs different than yours. And you got to pat us on the back and you got to congratulate us for these beliefs. But now the opponents have moved into the most terrifying stage, and that is indoctrination. We've moved from toleration to celebration to indoctrination. Now they want to teach us their ways. Now the opponents of Christianity want to lecture us and tell us about how we've been wrong about everything. I'm not a big news person, but over and over, especially on social media, you'll see what Christians just don't get about fill in the blank. It's out there everywhere. And more terrifying than that to me is unbelievers want to indoctrinate our children. They want to get into the school system and teach them how Christianity is wrong. They want to get into the university and teach them how Christianity is wrong. And I want to ask you, in that changing culture, is Jesus enough for you? If you are the kind of person who has to have the acceptance and the appreciation and the applause of this world, you are going to be out of luck. because more and more the world around us is opposing us, and we're not going to get their acceptance, and we're not going to get their appreciation, and we sure aren't going to get their applause for believing what we believe. And so we better get it settled in our mind that we're going to say with the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 4:3, I count it a very small thing to be judged by you, world. I count it a very small thing to be judged by any human court. I don't even judge myself. But the Lord is my judge. Can we say that? If we can't, we better be building our faith to the point that we can. Can we say with Paul in Galatians 1:10, I'm not trying to please men? Can we say with Peter and John, we must obey God rather than men? I like the way Max Lucado said it in his book, The Applause of Heaven. He said, you'll be home soon. You may not have noticed it, but you're closer to home than ever before. Each moment is a step taken. Each breath is a page turned. Each day is a mile marked, a mountain climbed. You're closer to home than you've ever been. Before you know it, your appointed arrival time will come. You'll descend the ramp and enter the city. You'll see the faces that are waiting for you. You'll hear your name spoken by those who love you. And in the back, behind the crowds, the one who would rather die than live without you will remove his pierced hands from his heavenly robe and applaud. Is that enough for you? If not, you've got some work to do on your faith. Is Jesus enough when the winds make it hard to obey him? But here's another thing. Is Jesus enough when the darkness makes it hard to see him? Now, this episode happened in the dark. Your version of the Bible may say that this took place in the fourth watch of the night. That's a Roman way of reckoning time. It means between 3 and 6 a.m. Jesus was coming out to them on that boat, walking on the water in the pre-dawn darkness. I wondered this week as I studied this text, how would things have been different if it had been daylight? This storm was rough, but it wasn't as rough apparently as that one back in Matthew 8 where the disciples were afraid the boat was going to be ripped apart and they were going to die. It doesn't seem to be that kind of storm. It was just buffeting them. It was bothering them. It was making it hard to sail in the direction they wanted to go. But this was a more relaxed situation, I think. And I think it had been daylight, it would have been different. I think they look over and see this figure, and pretty soon, because it's light, they realize, hey, that's Jesus. Well, look at that. I can see them smiling and patting one another on the back and high-fiving and saying, well, you can put something else on Jesus' resume. Not only can he heal the sick and cast out demons and feed the multitude with just a little bit of food and still the storm and raise the dead, but here's something else. He can walk on water. Look at that. I can see somebody elbowing Peter in the rib saying, Peter, you're always ready for any challenge. Get out there and see what you can do. If it had happened in the daylight. But it happened in the dark. And when it's dark, everything seems more confusing and more frightening. And so they were terrified. They see this image out there through the darkness. They can't make out who or what it is. Looks like a human body, but they know the human body is too heavy to walk on the surface of the water. So it's got to be a spirit without a body. A phantasma is what it's called here in the Greek. It's got to be a phantom. It's got to be a ghost. And they were terrified. Terrified because of the darkness. you are going to have some periods of spiritual darkness in your Christian journey. You just are. When you read the biographies of great Christians from the past, they'll talk about the dark night of the soul. A period of time when nothing seemed to be happening on a spiritual level. They couldn't sense Jesus' presence. They didn't feel that he was close. They prayed and it felt like nothing was happening. It's like God wasn't there. God didn't listen. God didn't care. God didn't move. And they went through that period of time. And you will. And when you go through a period of darkness and you can't see Jesus clearly, you can't sense that he's close to you, the question is he still enough? When you're not feeling it, is he still enough? When I was a teenager, I wanted to be a professional baseball player and got really interested in trying to make myself as good a player as I could, and I got interested in strength training. I wanted to be as strong as I could to be the best baseball player that I could. And I've been fascinated with the process ever since. We know what the basic process is. The basic process of making your body stronger is stimulus, the workout, recovery, resting and eating, and then adaptation. Your body adapts to the stress and the strain you put on it during the workout, and it comes back, it builds itself back up a little stronger than it was before. When I first learned about that process, it was amazing to just see your body get stronger and stronger, workout to workout to workout. But after you stay with it a while, and when you get older, everything slows down and gets harder. And when you get older, what you find is, if you're still trying to get stronger, what the process is this: stimulus, recovery, nothing. You're not any stronger. Stimulus, recovery, nothing. Stimulus, recovery, nothing. On and on. Weeks, months. And then finally, if you stay with it, there's this little breakthrough, and it's stimulus, recovery, something. You're a little bit stronger than you were. And the question is, are you willing to go through that period of stimulus, recovery, nothing? And that's going to happen to all of us in a spiritual way. We're trying to get stronger in our faith. We're trying to get stronger spiritually. And folks, you're going to have those periods of time when it is worship, prayer, nothing. Worship, prayer, nothing. It may be weeks. It may be months. Is Jesus enough for you during that time? Are you still going to do in the dark what you learned in the light? That's a question all of us are going to have to answer. The San Antonio Spurs are one of the most successful basketball teams in the world. They're in the NBA. They have a slogan in their locker room hanging on the wall. When nothing seems to help, I go look at a stone cutter hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times without as much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know that it was not that last blow that did it, but all that had gone before. By faith, are we willing to hammer away during the dark night of the soul? If Jesus is enough, we will be. And then let me say it a final way. Is Jesus enough when the waves make it hard to trust him? Verse 27 again, Jesus comes to them and they're not sure. They think it's a ghost. Then they think maybe it's him. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Why did Peter want to do that? I mean, Jesus could walk to them, right? Why did he want to walk out to Jesus? Well, if you think about it, Jesus had shown all of these miraculous abilities, and he had started to share some of them with the apostles or with the disciples at that time. Matthew 10:1, he sends them out on a limited commission, and he said, you're going to be able to heal the sick out there. You're going to be able to cast out demons out there, and the disciples could do it. And now Peter, who has lived on the water all of his life as a fisherman, says, oh, here's a miracle. There's an ability I want. Jesus, let me do this one. He wants to walk on that water. And Jesus tells him to come, but something goes wrong. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? What went wrong for Peter here? He believed. I mean, if he didn't believe, how did he stand on the water and take some steps? Peter believed that Jesus was enough to get him out of the boat. He believed Jesus was enough to help him take some steps across the water. But Peter began to look at the winds and the waves that storm was created. And he didn't believe Jesus was enough to get him through the storm. He could walk on the water under normal circumstances, but this was a storm, and he didn't think Jesus was enough to help him stand during the storm. And that's why he began to sink. I have known lots of Christians who believe that Jesus is enough to save them someday. But they don't believe that Jesus is enough to sustain them through this day and this storm. And so emotionally and spiritually, when the storm comes in life, and it will, they begin to sink. When you sail into a storm, do you believe that Jesus is enough? Not just for someday, for today. Do you think he's enough? When I was a boy, we were Braves fans, and we started going to Atlanta Braves baseball games. First game I went to, 1977. Braves played the Big Red Machine, Cincinnati Reds. But back in the day, to get your tickets, you called and ordered them, and they mailed you these pretty tickets in the mail, the snail mail, the old mail. And we would order weeks in advance, and so these tickets come in, and man, here they are, the very tickets we have to get in the game, and the Braves emblem and the Reds emblem's on there. And as a little kid, 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to hold on to those things, but Daddy wouldn't let me. Daddy said, you've got to have that ticket, that physical ticket in your hand when we get down there, or they're not going to let you in the game, and no excuses. If you lose them, we're out of luck. And so he held on to them. And he gave me the ticket when we got to the stadium and we were about to walk through the turnstile right there at the ticket taker. That's when he handed me my ticket so I wouldn't lose it. And folks, that's how the Heavenly Father deals with his children when it comes to storms. You may look forward and say, boy, if this storm came in my heart of hearts, I could not endure that. I don't have the strength. And you don't yet. But as you are about to walk through the turnstile and get into that storm, God hands you the strength. And faith says, whatever storm may come, God will give me the strength to endure and to stand when it gets here. That's faith. That is believing that Jesus is enough. So I'll ask you again, is Jesus enough for you? When the winds make it hard to obey him, when culture makes it harder and harder to obey him, what if culture makes it illegal to obey him? Are you ready for that? Because it may be coming. Is Jesus enough? When darkness makes it hard to see him and you worship and you pray and you obey and nothing happens up there, you don't sense it, you don't feel it, your prayers aren't answered, you feel like they're hitting the ceiling and coming right back down, is Jesus enough then? Is Jesus enough when the waves make it hard to trust him? When that storm comes, is he enough? I hope he is. We sing a hymn sometimes, Love Lifted Me. I thought of it this week as I was studying this passage. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, but love lifted me. If you're sinking in sin, will you let love lift you? Do you hear what Max Lucado said when we read that a moment ago? The one who would rather die than live without you died on the cross for you. God so loved the world, yes. But do you know if it had just been you? Nobody else, just you. Jesus still would have died on that cross. Will you let him pull you up and lift you up out of your sin? Will you come just trusting him and putting your faith in him and wanting to live with him and for him? Will you make it official and make it final by putting him on in baptism? If so, let us know you're ready to do that. Right now, as together we stand and as we